The Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
Hey guys, today's Friday. Let's do Flashback Friday 15 years ago. Here we go.
Flashback Friday.
The year was 2005. Amy, where were you in 2005?
Oh, I was meeting you.
That was the year. Well, we probably That's were 2004, huh? You, so. Or five.
No, we met in 2005. And I was selling granite and I don't know, just not in radio at all.
Yeah, never even thought about it. Well, here you go.
I want to know what was going on in your life.
It was in radio. I was trying to be a big radio star. I was an idiot with big dreams. And everybody was like, you can't do that. And I was like, oh, watch me. Let's see. The biggest country song in 2005 on this day was Rascal Flatts, Fast Cars and Freedom.
Yeah, yeah, to me. You don't look a day over Fast Cars and Freedom. That song said...
The biggest pop song was Gwen Stefani, Holla Back Girl. And the biggest thing in pop culture, in 2005, the very first YouTube video was posted. It was a clip of one of the co-founders standing in front of elephants at the San Diego Zoo. Here's a clip of the first ever, brace yourself, guys, the first ever YouTube video.
All right, so here we are in front of the elephants. Cool thing about these guys is that they have really, really, really long fronts. And that's cool.
There you go.
Wow.
And listen, I've put up worse content. I'll be honest with you. Hey, Raymundo, I have a note here, something I was going to talk about, but I couldn't remember why you said this, but it struck me. Live longer by... Is this a story that Ray sent me? Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about, Ray?
Yeah, I believe it is fruits and veggies as well as a type of tea. And they say that if you do that throughout your life, you're going to extend it by about 5 to 10 years, possibly even the decade.
Wow, you're right. Eating fruit, drinking tea, and walking every day. A new study finds that eating foods rich in flavonoids. What the heck is a flavonoid?
Oh, flavonoids?
Oh, is that what it is? Is that what it is?
Flava.
I have no idea what that is. It's a compound found in foods like apples and beverages like tea, lowers one's risk in death possibly 5 to 10 years. Wow. Was it, Amy, flavonoids?
I think. I've heard it before and read it. That's how I read it in my head, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, Ray sent me that story. I didn't even know what that meant. You see the picture of Jesse James Decker that she had on her Instagram where she was like laying in a chair and she had on some really skimpy underwear and her kid was in the bed behind her and she posted it and she was like, somebody may want to pull this up because I saw it.
Oh, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it
says,
Jesse
James Decker defended herself after being dragged for posting a picture of herself in her underwear with her son in the background. Now she has on a white t-shirt that covers most of her stomach and you see her underwear, just the side of it. And her son's in the bed behind it. So, Amy, let me know if you pull that picture up.
Okay.
Because I would be curious. I didn't think anything about it. I think every family has their own rules at home about...
Yeah. As you're telling it to me, I don't have any thoughts.
I mean, but you hear the pervos going, oh, yeah.
Well, I saw it,
you
man.
Asked if we you saw it.
You asked if we saw it.
And then you both moaned to yourself.
Yeah. Y'all were like, yeah, yeah, we saw it. You're like, yeah. You're like,
but did you see how hot she looked in it? I mean,
Bobby, you just, well, first of all, she does look hot.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought you were just saying she was like maybe casually on her bed reading a book or something.
No.
Doing a very sexy pose with a glass of wine.
Or an exhausted pose.
Oh, my bones.
Exhausted.
That's what it is. Yes. It's
I took it as
she
exhausted.
She has wine. Mm. I see that. It's like she says Tuesday as the caption, and she's laying there exhausted with her glass of wine. Yeah, so what?
What did you think about that?
I mean, I see it. Nothing.
Nothing,
I mean,
me either.
So the problem is that people have is that her son is in the background?
That she's in her underwear and her son is in the background in the same room where she's just in her underwear.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how old her son is. I mean, I couldn't do that with my son. He's 9, but this little kid looks young enough to where that's fine. My daughter sees me naked. Is that weird?
For me, yes. But my rules don't matter. You have your own rules at your house.
Yeah.
Everybody's house rules, that's like your own little government almost.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I just thought that there was a big hubbaloo about nothing about her doing that.
I mean, are people concerned that her dog is right there too and
sees
her that way?
Well, no, don't be ridiculous.
Amy, come on.
You see Eddie get on there and put peaches and...
why is it so
eggplants in their comments?
Picture.
I know.
Well, I wanted to hate on it, but then I was like, I walk around in my underwear all the time at home. My kids don't care.
You wouldn't let your son see you in your underwear and a t-shirt, Amy?
No, not maybe when he was younger, but not at 9. I try to be clothed. Yeah. I mean, sometimes he'll come. My daughter doesn't really have to knock if she wants to come into my bathroom or closet, but my son. He has to knock every single time.
He has to knock, say a password, do put together the Rubik's Cube. He has to do it all just to make sure to get in.
Yeah.
Retina scan. What's happening with him? You say he's been working hard at school?
Yeah, he's been doing so good, and he's been practicing his reading, and I'm just super proud of him because whenever we got sent to distance learning, homeschooling, he was in like second-ish grade at school, and they went ahead and put him in all first grade just because that just made the most sense at home. But with his reading, we had a meeting with the teachers yesterday, and he's now almost to the third grade level in reading. So, and I know that that's from work because he has been reading every day, and he wants to read every night before bed too. So during the day and at night before bed. And sometimes I'll go into his room and I expect to find him playing with his cars or on his iPad or something. And he's just laying there reading on his own.
Oh, wow, really?
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it's that, and that's showing up at school because his reading has gone up a whole grade level.
Oh, wow. That's got to be not only exciting, but a little bit like you've invested a lot in his learning and to see him actually taking it and getting having progress. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Will he ever catch up to the grade he's supposed to be in?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I mean, we sure hope so.
Well, I didn't know if he always was just going to be in that grade and work up a year by year, or if it's like a program where he's trying to catch up because he came with not knowing English.
I think he's almost there, and we're trying to catch them both up, and that's the goal. So we're trying to get them in the grade that they're with their peers. But if they're a year behind their peers, that's fine, because age-wise, that happens to people sometimes. But we just didn't want them to be 3 grades behind, which is kind of where we are sometimes.
Richard Gere has a son at 70 years old, just now.
Wow.
His second. He's got a 37-year-old wife. The 70-year-old actor and his 37-year-old wife, 37 younger than I am. Well, I had their, like, that much age difference for her. She's seeing some old, you know? Oh, I mean,
yeah,
just
we know.
Old mm-hmm. genitalia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He must have a good heart, though. She loves that.
Yeah, but she's rich, so she don't care.
He might have a good heart, guys.
Right. No, I know.
He may be a great dude. It's not like she's 22, by the way. She's 37. Respectable 37.
How old is he again? You said
70? 70. Yeah, just had a baby. 70, yeah. An incident occurred at a Walmart Supercenter in Washington, D.C. on Monday. The victim was trying to make her way into an elevator when another woman pulled out pepper spray and accused her of failing to maintain a social distance, so she sprayed her in the face. Oh.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, that went 0 to 60 real quick, huh? Hey, Ray, can I ask you a question about the segment we did a couple days ago?
Yeah, hit me.
The quilt, the hoodie quilt?
Yeah.
Did you order it?
Yeah, it's been ordered.
Did you order it as soon as we did the segment?
Within 12 hours, I just had to vet the site a little bit because at first I didn't know that you were going to actually buy the thing. So then I did my research and it was PayPal verified. So that if they don't give us a quilt, I get my money back. You get your money back. But it said 2 weeks, the lady's still got to quilt it. So,
well, also if I don't get the quilt, I get the money back that I paid you as well.
Well, then I'll quilt you a quilt.
I'm just saying. I get the whole deal was you won. I ordered it, so I gave you the money too, you know?
Yeah, I took care of it, but it is a process because it wasn't already made, so it's one of those things.
Okay. Just checking in on you over here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what's up. We'll get to today's show. talk to Hillary Scott from Lady Antebellum. You'll like that. Hang out. Enjoy the podcast. Enjoy the show. And we'll see you after this. All right, bye, guys. Here you go.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Now turn it up.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
Hey, guys, welcome to Friday's show. Amy, how are you?
Doing good. How about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Eddie was giving me a little crap, though. You know, on Sunday, American Idol, we're live from 40 different places at once, right? We all have, I say a studio, but it's honestly a couple lights and a couple iPhones from Katy Perry's house in California and Lionel's house in California. And Luke Bryan and I are both in Nashville. Lionel, we all have, and then all 20 contestants have phones, and we're doing American Idol quarantine edition. And so they say, hey, set up a place where it's going to be like your home base. And I have like a little office, nothing fancy, but I made all the shelves. I put some books back there and put like Arkansas Razorback helmet just so people would know about me a bit. Well, I had one shelf. I was like, well, what do I put? And Mike D and I were talking, and we decided we were just going to put an entire section of just all my book, my second book, Fail Until You Don't, just to be funny. It's like there are all these books through all the shelves, but then it was just going to be all my book in one section, and hopefully people would see it. Well, Eddie sends me a note going, hey, dude, people are going to think nobody bought your book.
Oh.
I didn't know if you thought this, but when I first saw it, I was like, it looks cool to see all the books. It really does. But it's all your books, yeah. And they're going to think like, well, man, he can't sell any of them, so he has them all on his shelf.
I didn't think about that. Amy, what? Because Sunday night.
No, I saw it and I thought, oh, wow, okay, that's interesting promo right there for his book. I just thought, he's just using that as an opportunity to make people aware that he has a book.
Yeah, at one point I had, because it's a shelf and you just see the back spine and it says Fail Until You Don't by Bobby Bones, and which, by the way, you can get on Amazon. But I'd taken one out and put the cover up in front too, and it was a little too much. I looked at Mike and I was like, we probably shouldn't go this hard. It looked like a display at the bookstore is what it looked like. Yeah. So, but yeah, Sunday night, American Idol, it's going to be pretty crazy. Amy has a story, I think, coming up in the pile about something happening on Idol.
Yeah,
which
I do.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy that it, you know, has existed this long. That it's an artifact from Idol that's coming back out, which we'll talk about.
Yeah. No, I'm shocked it's still around.
Glad you guys are all here. Boy, Eddie sent me a few funny. I was telling Eddie before the show, like, he sent me a few things I was laughing out loud at. There's another one, and I don't know if we'll get to it today, but by Monday for sure. Eddie has told his kids a lie, and they still believe it. Like, his son brought it up at dinner, and it is such a, Amy, it is such a lie.
But a lie about what?
I mean, what do you
does it have to
you
do
want
with?
To talk about it now or later, Bones?
I want to hold off a bit.
Okay.
Amy, it is such a lie.
I mean, but does it have to do with Eddie?
Yeah.
Because Eddie lies. Like, Eddie says he, you know, was almost drafted for football or something.
Yeah. It's bigger than that. Eddie's son believes that Eddie has achieved some status that none of us will ever achieve, but Eddie has. And Eddie's just letting him believe it. Well, we'll get to it. If not today, Monday. But glad everybody's here. Why don't we get started with Luke Combs, which, by the way, Luke Combs is playing the Opry on Saturday night. I host that show. I produce the show. You can watch it on live stream. Just go to Circle All Access on Facebook, and we live stream the whole show. It's also on TV stations all over the country. But 7 o'clock Central on Circle All Access, Luke Combs will be live and Craig Morgan. So you can check that out. Do you feel like you have a better sense of what day and what time it is now?
I do, totally. But I owe that to my husband because he's given us structure. I feel like at the beginning of all this, I was just in survival mode and I kept saying, I'm just trying to survive this. And he would look at me like I was ridiculous because he was in the military for a long time and he's been overseas and done survival training and been at war. So he would just look at me like, you think this is surviving? Like, calm down, pump the brakes. We're fine. This is just how we have to live life right now. And we're living. He's like, I'm going to help you live. So he took over my schedule and it's been awesome. Every day I get a new schedule and it's really great. And this week, for whatever reason, he's delivering it to me and now it's in military time. And a couple of times, I take it back to him. I'm like, can we rewrite this with the real time? He's like, that is real time. Just subtract 12. I said, I don't have time. Every time I look at it and I see 1,300, 1,330, 1,500, oh, 400. Like, afternoon, I get confused, and I don't have the brain power for that. So now he said, sorry, I just started doing the schedule when I hopped off a meeting. And that's still how he talks in a lot of meetings. They speak in military time. So he was just in that mode when he wrote out my schedule.
That's funny. You know, I make a schedule for me every day, right down to the 15 minutes. And so I wake up, and it's when I eat food, when I'm getting on the bike, when I do push-ups and sit-ups. And I don't always stay right on it. I try to, but it gives me such structure to know where I need to be at what time all the time. And I never waste time, which is always, when you have all the time in the world, you waste all the time in the world because you always feel like, oh, well, there's so much time. I can just do whatever I want and get to it all. And that begins to be the pollutant in our minds when it comes to being productive. And so I'm like your husband, obviously. We've talked about this a lot in that I like everything to be scheduled. When I read a book, I try to read 30 minutes a day. I schedule my book time. I schedule dinner time. Everything is done. And we don't have to follow it, but at least I also check things off. And so if I don't get to it, it's still there to be checked off. So, but then I'm able to take a weird situation like this and make it pretty normal.
Okay, so for a long time, I think I've always been like, about your schedule. Yeah. I mean, into it.
You'd be more like, that's stupid. But yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. But remember, I also used to be a snoozer. I used to hit snooze all the time and you didn't. And I used to be like, you're so cool. You don't snooze. But now I don't snooze and my life is so much better. So I think that I'm about to be a person that's like, I have a schedule and my life is so much better and I'll never go back because I don't snooze anymore. And now I feel like, okay, fine. I'll eat lunch at 1300 and I have till 1330 or however
you say it.
Well,
you may not do military time, but I think you're understanding why a schedule makes you more productive, which means you can actually get your goals accomplished. It's not about just all productivity all the time. It's about just getting done what you want to get done and what's important to you. It's about prioritizing and making sure the things that you want to get done because you value that actually get done.
I totally agree. And it's taken away the at night when we're about to crawl in bed and I gasp like, oh, I forgot to do X, Y, and Z and I need to do it before we go to bed. And now we kind of go to bed and I feel good. I look at him and I say, I'm done with my day.
Yeah. Well, good for you. You're coming over to the other side slowly but surely. Yeah. The thing about snooze, and this is a segment that Amy and I did on the air where I was like, hey, we're just going to stop snoozing for a week or whatever it was.
And 2 weeks.
Was it 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And then for me, I hate waking up. I would assume more than 90% of people listen to the show. I'm not a morning person, but I never hit snooze because at some point it's going to feel miserable to me. I would just rather make that miserableness happen and be done with. So it's like, nah. I could lay back down, but I'm going to feel as bad, if not worse, in 7 minutes, in 13 minutes. So if I'm going to have to suffer that pain, why not just get it over with and be as far away from the pain as absolutely possible? The same way with exercising. I do not like exercising. As a matter of fact, I hate it. There are activities that I like playing basketball, like competing, but I don't like riding the bike. I do it every day. I don't like going to the gym when my gym's open. But because I know I don't like it, I can't wait to get to it so I can get it over with. And it is a mental hurdle that I have to jump almost every day, but I know that I'm going to do it, so why not just do it and get it over with so I have the rest of the day not to think about it? Hard mind space to get you in, but once you get there and you start to see kind of the fruits of your labor, mm-hmm. even mentally, you start to go, oh, this is the way I should live my life. I wrote about a lot of that in my last book. By the way, check it out. Fail Until You Don't. Order it on Amazon. I love to see you trying some of these tactics and it making you feel better about yourself because they're not fun, but they do. But what stinks about it, about adding them and implementing them, what you get from it on the other side, the net gain is so much. It is you gain so, it sucks a little worse to do that, but you gain so much more on the other side. Time to spend with people, time to get other things accomplished, hobbies, all of this stuff. Anyway, thank you. I could go on. Thank you for coming on my TED Talk. This would be the whole show today. Anyway, thank you. Are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. It's 1,300 hours right now here on the that's how I do all the time. I'd like to take a second and plug Amy's podcast. If you're out this weekend, you're all caught up on our shows. Check out Four Things with Amy Brown. What are the four things you're talking about in this episode, Amy?
So every week during coronavirus, I have a healthcare hero shout out where I shout out someone that's working on the front lines. And so that's always fun. And then I have recommendations for if you're bored at home, like new books, shows, recipes to try out. Then I also have talk on being anti-diet doesn't mean anti-nutrition. And then another little thing about being present in the pandemic.
All right, there you go. All that in one episode. Can you believe all those are in one episode, Mike?
It's a lot.
Can you believe that?
It's awesome.
Even the tease took us an hour to get through. Holy
Sorry.
Crap. All right, let's get over. Amy is standing by with her fun facts. And remember, Amy, we're doing this. I want the most fun fact, number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are five of them.
Yep.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. Rock it.
Fun fact. Friday.
Here we go. The most fun facts on a Friday, Amy. Here we go.
Number five.
The most watched episode of a TV series in the last decade,
Ooh.
Not counting one-off events like the Super Bowl.
Ooh, can I take a guess at this?
Yeah.
The last decade. So we're 20, so it's got to be 2010 to 2020.
Correct.
I think Friends is off by then. Just any episode, right?
Most watched episode of a TV series.
Yeah, a TV series. What has ended? Mike, do you know this?
I do know this.
Will I get it if I keep thinking?
Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Oh, you don't? It's something like Fresh Off the Boat that was a big show, but I don't know.
Oh, that show was kind of so good.
Like Modern Family?
No.
It's not. Okay, what is it, Amy?
It's Undercover Boss.
Oh, never. I would have went through every show in the TV guide if you guys know what that is. Go ahead.
Well, 2010 with 38.7 million viewers.
How in the world did that show get so many viewers? Undercover Boss?
Well, because I just think...
It wasn't an end of a series. It was like the first episode.
Yeah, right after the Super Bowl aired, that episode came out.
Right.
Oh, okay. I got it. That's cheating. That's cheating. Okay, go ahead. Number four.
Number four.
So next time you eat an M&M, I want you to think how long it took for that M&M to get made, because each M&M takes 16 hours to make.
What? How?
They're made in the small town of Cleveland, Tennessee, which is home to the Mars Corporation, and it takes 16 hours to make the chocolate center and then coat it with the candy shell and then print the M&M on the outside. Like, there's just different phases, and there's a list of secret ingredients that go in there to make it just right.
Well, you'd think each M&M would be a little more expensive then. It takes 16 hours.
Number three.
Cheez-Its are not perfectly square.
I don't eat Cheez-Its. I have no interest in this story. Not that fun, but I think our listeners will, so go ahead.
Oh, I love Cheez-Its. Yeah. And if you were to say, is a Cheez-It square? I would say yes, but technically they are 1 inch by 0.94 inches.
Yeah.
If you measure them, every single one.
Oh, you mean even when they're perfect, they're not perfectly square?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's Cheez-Its. They
Why
look
am I saying,
square.
Oh, wow. I don't give a crap. I'm just trying to get to the next one at this point.
It's not Cheez-Its, but what's the other one?
Cheese Nips.
Yeah. Do you like Cheese Nips?
You know, I'm just not a big cheese crackers guy. I love cheese. I love crackers. I just am not a big cheese cracker guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe I just get that from my grandma.
Number two.
So keeping it on the food thing, Kellogg's ripped off the idea for Pop-Tarts from Post. So Post announced that they were going to be making a pastry for your toaster called Country Squares. Oh. So Kellogg's quickly developed their own version and got them out first in 1964.
Oh, it was that long ago, huh?
Yeah.
I have a box of Pop-Tarts in my bedroom, actually, which is a weird place for it. But for my birthday, Eddie got Kayla and I a whole basket full of date night, which was a blanket, some wine glasses, no wine because I don't drink, but a box of Pop-Tarts that are s'mores Pop-Tarts, and they're still sitting in there. But I haven't had them
yet. Yeah, because Caitlin, your girlfriend, she likes to put butter on
Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah, she needs to quit those habits right now. Just for the future, you know?
It's fine.
I know, that's all I'm saying. All right.
Number one.
Here we go, the big one. What's the most fun fact of all time?
So the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses, do you know where it comes from?
Ooh, how about Davy Jones from the Monkees?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, it is based on a real family with the last name Jones. They built a huge mansion in New York in the mid-1800s, and then other rich families in the area remodeled their homes to try to match them. So that is where we get Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Huh. Did you know that?
I knew that now.
Oh, look at us. It's such a fun, moderately fun fact. What's the most fun fact of all of that, though? Let me think about that.
Are you kidding? I thought that that was the most, because we say Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
We don't even know the roots of it.
I don't say that. I don't ever tell anybody. You're just trying to keep up with the Joneses. I've heard it, but I don't say it. Let me assigning sayings to me that I don't say. What was number five again?
Number five, the first one? That was the most watched TV series of the last decade.
That definitely wasn't that one.
Okay.
M&M's was 16 hours.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give that the championship today. I think that's our most fun fact. It takes 16 hours for one M&M. All right, there you go. Wrap it up.
Okay. I'm Amy, and those are my moderately fun facts.
There you go.
Bones. Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Putnam County, Florida. A man had a warrant out for his arrest, and he knew police would be stopping by his house, so he put a sign on the front door that said, "Infected with corona since March. Oh. Do not enter."
Wow.
Oh, my.
It was a handwritten note he had, and so they put on the mask, called the hazmat crew, and he was still arrested.
You just can't joke about having corona in any way. You can't lie. You don't talk about it unless you have it. Wow, that's crazy. All right.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So this guy in Pueblo, Colorado, went to his favorite restaurant, ordered a couple of appetizers. The total was $18. He was able to go inside the restaurant, give him his credit card to pay for the bill. But after he paid, he slipped a check to the owner. And the owner opened up the check, and it was for $4,000.
Wow.
And the owner was like, "What is this about?" And the guy said, "Well, this is my favorite place, and I'm worried about y'all." And the owner's like, "Wow, yeah, things have been rough. Like, I haven't even really been able to have my staff here because I can't afford to pay them." So the owner was reluctant to take the $4,000, but said, "Hey, I'll take it as long as I can give this to my staff that's not even working right now." And he said, "Yep, that's what I want you to do." So he was able to divide it up and gave each person that works there $444.
Wow. Big, generous gift there. Wow, that's what it's all about, huh?
So cool.
Was Tell Me Something Good.
Well, today's a big day because after the show, right after it's over, Caitlin and I are getting in the car and we are driving to some random park on the other side of Memphis and doing a goods switch out with her parents. First time I ever met them, and she's not gonna hug them. There'll be social distancing completely, but it'll be the first time that I've met her parents. We're gonna do that. We're driving almost 4 hours that way. We're gonna switch some stuff out. She has no clothes. She has nothing here because she's been here for 7 weeks almost now from California with some clothes that Amy sent her, like a few hoodies and a travel suitcase full of stuff. She's been doing that for 2 months. So we're gonna drive, get some of her stuff, probably spend an hour there, turn around and come back. But nothing's open. We're not going anywhere. But I think we may take like a ball glove or something because you can throw a ball, right?
I guess so, but isn't that still touching? Because if like you touch it and they touch it, then everybody's touching.
Well, you want to throw the ball with her dad? Like,
sure, why not? If that were the case, you couldn't touch things at the grocery store. I think it's just like...
Well, they say to... Well, yeah, I guess you just have to wash your hands right after, obviously.
Well, Lunchbox said I should take my mirror ball trophy, like, to flex on them a little bit.
No.
No, absolutely. Listen, you are meeting your girlfriend's parents for the first time, and you want to impress them. You want to say, look at me. And the way to do that is to get out of the car with the mirror ball and be like, look what your daughter is dating. How do you like them apples? And they will be like, wow, this dude's for real, and he is legit.
Amy, what would you think if I showed up with a mirror ball that I wanted Dancing with the Stars to meet my girlfriend's parents?
You can't. You cannot do that. There, in no scenario is that okay to do.
I would never do that. And that's not my style anyway. What can I do to impress them, you think?
Start dancing with the mirror ball?
No.
No. I think that you come up with a list of things that you love about their daughter.
Oh, can you imagine? And I'd like to share. I'd like to share
that's
now.
That's even worse.
A couple documents that I've made about the things that I find wonderful about your offspring.
It'd be like, what is happening? Please,
yes.
Well, from a distance, I don't know. It's up to you. You could put a few of her awesome qualities that, and you can credit them for her being so amazing.
I don't understand how this comes up, though. How do I bring it up?
You just, like, I'll just be like, oh, I need to go get something out of the car. And you bring out these poster boards and they, it's like Caitlin's qualities. And then they can read it from afar. So write it real big.
I'm not going to be down
the
road
from
them.
Hey, if they video it, that could be so cute.
Eddie, any so Amy says, make a poster board collection of Caitlin's best qualities to show her parents. Okay. Yeah. Lunchbox says, take the mirror ball on Dancing with the Stars. What do you think, Eddie?
I don't mean to rip a page out of Lunchbox's book, this may be the time, Bones, to rent a cool car.
Yeah.
You know, and like show up. And I don't, again, Lunchbox is the Lambo guy, but something like that where you just, there's my future, like whatever.
That's my son-in-law.
The guy that my daughter's dating.
What kind of car would a parent be impressed with if you drove up?
Something that goes, boom, boom.
Would not be impressive.
This is the Ferrari. Most ridiculous thing that I've heard. Eddie, yours might be worse than the mirror ball.
Okay. Let me rethink. Hey, Bones, what about just getting out and opening the door and being like, yes, ma'am, after you.
I don't understand.
Just show
Caitlin,
politeness.
Chivalry.
Well, I am polite. I don't.
These guys don't listen to them.
Amy, you just told me to do a full production on Plaster of Paris for the family based on their genetics.
Hey, you said, no, not genetics. It could be how they raised her. Yeah. It's not genetics.
I think I'm just going to go with, hey, guys, really great to meet you, and then have a normal conversation. I think that's the leader in the clubhouse.
Okay, then fine. Don't put it on poster. Yell it. Get a megaphone and be like, she's so funny and smart and
Amy,
kind.
Amy, I'm going to be 6 feet from them. Can you imagine if I get a megaphone to talk to them 6 feet away?
I'm just picturing y'all being, I just feel like y'all should be, maybe I don't have a good handle on what 6 feet is.
It's about you. You lay down plus a foot.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, I dated a guy once that was 6'5", so that long?
Well, a little shorter, actually. Yeah. What if I put a bunch of my books, both my books on the floorboards, and then when I get out, it's almost like I'm kicking them out. There's so many. I'm like, oh, sorry, those are just all my books.
You could give them an autographed copy.
Sorry, can you imagine if I gave her parents that?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I love the mirror ball, but if you're not willing to do that,
I would never.
They'll read the book.
I would never do that. Okay. Well, thank you guys for your advice. I just wanted to run Lunchbox's idea of taking the mirror ball that I wanted Dancing with the Stars and showing our parents. We're all knowing that?
I'm a yes.
Yeah, no. Okay. Don't do that.
We'll go to Raymundo. He's nutty. What do you think, Raymundo?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking definitely avoid sweatpants and just relaxed clothing. I would almost say wear a suit and just say, yeah, I got American Idol stuff this weekend. I'm really busy. I usually work 7 days a week.
Boy, all the guys on this show are just interested in showing off.
Flexing.
Yeah,
that's the whole point.
Wow.
I want you to flex Caitlin.
They know her, though.
Yeah, they know Caitlin. They got to get to know Bobby. You got to flex and show them what you got.
Can you imagine if I drove 4 hours in a suit? and I make the excuse, yeah, sorry, I was in a hurry. And I never change out. Like, for some reason, I have to stay in the suit for 4 hours. And my excuse is I usually work 7 days a week. Okay, well, I'll let you guys know how it goes Monday. All right?
Yeah. All right. Good luck, man. Good luck.
Thank you. I was reading this article about reality shows, and they say that they really do make you dumber. And I tell you, I was watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills the other day, because Caitlin will watch Beverly Hills. When we tried to watch Potomac, Amy, I just can't get into Potomac that much.
Me neither. I don't think it's not no bueno.
And so we're watching Beverly Hills. The weird thing about Beverly Hills is when they cut away to their interview scenes, they are in full-on fancy pants, gowns, jewelry. I mean, they're like having brunch in their normal clothes, and they go away to the cutaway, and they're just like, wah-bam! It's just like glam. It's odd. She likes that. And she said because she lives in California, that at the farmer's market that she would go to, she would run into Teddy Mellencamp.
Oh, really?
Who is supposedly super nice. I mean, according to Caitlin, she says that she has talked to Teddy Mellencamp a few times and is really nice.
Okay. Well, all I've seen is the girls on the show have major drama with Teddy.
Well, but if you don't have drama with everybody, isn't it not a good show?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this whole article says reality shows can make you dumber. And I feel like that conversation right there, I am now dumber. And I'm sorry to everyone who had to hear me talk about that. So watching something dumb might make you dumber. You are what you watch, basically. It's called media priming. The idea that the things that we watch or listen to influence our emotions, our behavior, way more than we even think. So be careful. I think people too. Be careful just what you surround yourself with. A little bit's okay. What's the last reality show you've watched? Like really got into?
Well, Love is Blind.
Okay, me too. I was going to say that too. And I was talking like this for like the week. I was really dumb. I couldn't.
No, that wasn't dumb because it was science.
No, they kept saying, I think that's how they convinced them to go on the show. But I was like, duh.
But sometimes we need that mindless.
Yes,
just,
sometimes. Occasionally. Yeah.
Okay,
all right, let's go over, speaking of mindless, and get the morning corny. Amy's here with
Thanks.
This. Let's go.
The morning corny.
How does a cucumber become a pickle? Man, it goes through a jarring experience.
All right. She even sold it with the man.
That was the morning corny.
My dog got his cone off yesterday, which is thank goodness. He's still got a huge scar on his face. But I have a bulldog. He's not quite a year old. He will be in a couple weeks. But he's had 7 surgeries now. And he had problems whenever we got him. And kind of got him back, I think, to fighting shape. And not dog fighting. That's just a term. Listen, this dog wouldn't fight with anybody. But we took his cone off yesterday. He's thrilled. It's just nice to have him not running around knocking things over. Because after a while, the cone didn't even exist to him. He was just like, I'm just going to run and live my life. If the cone knocks into things, that's on it. But he's just a big old clumsy bulldog. But very loving. And hopefully, other than that big scar, back to normal. So there's the update on my dog there. I did read a story about a dog, about a woman who, her dog went missing. She's from San Francisco. And the dog popped up gone in December. And so she went all out, including flying a plane over the city. Did you see the story?
No.
And she's been reunited with him when he turned up at a shelter in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's amazing.
She exhausted all options to reunite with her miniature Australian Shepherd, Jackson. She even hired a plane to fly over San Francisco with a banner to the website that she set up to find him. And on Tuesday, after months apart, Talermo and Jackson were reunited after she got word that he had turned up at a shelter hundreds of miles away outside of Los Angeles. And when the shelter sent pictures, that's when she knew. Back in December, she left him tied to a bench when she went in to get groceries at the grocery store. Detectives worked for months on the case. They looked at surveillance video. They did all of it. They offered a $7,000 no questions asked reward. They hired the plane. They went on and on and on. Anyway, she was reunited with her dog. I love that story. What about tying your dog when you go in to get groceries?
Oh, I do that.
You do? Okay, I don't know. I would never do that, but I don't know if that's acceptable or not.
I mean, I think because I live where I can walk to our neighborhood grocery store and I'll just tie her up and run in and get the groceries and then walk home with her.
Oh, I don't know if that's bad. I was asking because I don't know. I wouldn't do that because I would be too nervous.
Yeah, I guess I'm
too loving.
Trust people.
I'm just too loving and too into animals, you know? So I would never do that. But hey, every man's got their own code, you know?
I must not love my dog.
So Sam Hunt's wife went and bought a bidet, which is that little thing that squirts water in your butt because she don't have to deal with not having toilet paper or searching for toilet paper. But the headline is, Sam Hunt is so not interested in his wife's quirky quarantine purchase. No secret that toilet paper has been hard to get. So Sam's wife took matters into her own hands and bought a bidet, which you sit on, squirts water into your butt. By the way, can I say this? That's the cleanest thing to do. I know it's weird for here in Western culture, but I'm more worried about being clean than I am worried about following some weird... Listen, I was anti-handshake before Corona came. And I was like, you know who has it right? East. Over in the East. They're bowing. They have bidets. Ugh, they're so clean over there. By the way, Sam Hunt has this song, Body Like a Back Road. Amy, sing your parody to it you just made up.
Bidet up your hole. bidet up your booty.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah. Water in your backside. If you take it like lighter, you know?
Yeah, I know. I just felt like My first version isn't for radio.
Would you do bidet?
Yes. I think that maybe, hopefully, this is one of the things that'll come out of, you know, the new normal post-corona. Yeah. It'll be more socially acceptable. I mean, I don't have one, but I'm with you. I don't know why we in America are so anti-bidet. I know,
because it's stuff in our butt.
But yeah, I mean, to your point, like, everything's just so clean.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, not a commercial. I got some of these Cottonelle wet wipes, and on the package it says plumber approved, so you can flush them. It's like the greatest combination of toilet paper slash, if you can't, you don't like toilet paper and you don't want to go full bidet, maybe these wet wipes for your butt are the way to go. You ever use a wet wipe on your butt?
Is this, yes.
Okay.
Is this TMI? I feel like this is just a lot of information right now.
No, but this is it. We shouldn't put a stigma on something we all do.
You're right. I know. I want to get rid of the stigma for sure. And if you think about it, that's how we clean babies.
Absolutely. And who's a bigger baby than me?
Am I right?
I just got a text from Caitlin, who's downstairs right now. She goes, I just went through everything and threw away 40 pounds of molded food from the refrigerator. And I need you to admire how organized and clean it is when you come down here later.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Listen, I'm a single guy. There are going to be things that I do that are still very single guy-ish when I'm a single guy. By single, I mean I'm not married. I've been living by myself forever. So don't judge me, you know? A clean place. But there's probably a bunch of food in there because I won't throw it out. I'll just leave it and be like, oh, I'll get to it at some point. And then it gets pushed in the back. When it's three layers deep, who even looks at the back of the fridge unless you're down low and you're looking under the glass? Other than that, you don't see the stuff in the back, you know? Or no, nobody knows.
Unless you look.
Yeah, I don't really look. But anyway, I just got that text from Caitlin, who's apparently downstairs. But she is quite the breakfast chef. I asked her, I was like, hey, what do you like doing? And she was like, I enjoy cooking. And she enjoys like creating. How amazing is it that someone loves to cook when it's paired with someone who loves to eat things that people have cooked? It's the perfect pair.
It's a match made in heaven.
Like I've said, we're a give and take couple. She gives, I take. Love it. Couldn't be happier about that. What are you smiling about over there?
Nothing. I'm just happy for you. The Bobby Bones
Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So tomorrow morning, Saturday, Sesame Street and CNN, they're going to hold a coronavirus town hall.
Yeah, I see the commercial for this because they've done them before with Anderson Cooper and Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and they've brought in people like Magic Johnson or had other celebrities that have had some sort of health crisis or knowledge. But they're bringing in the Sesame Street for the kids, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be Big Bird with Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah. And they're going to be they're just explaining to kids what's happening in their language by someone they would trust, like young kids.
Yeah. Elmo and Grover.
They're too busy.
They'll be there, but Big Bird's the main person with Sanjay Gupta, but it'll be a 90-minute special. Wow. And you can check that out with your kids tomorrow morning.
All right. What else you got?
So this is cool, and Bobby, you're a part of this, but the American Idol live show is coming back this
Sunday.
Yeah. And Ryan Seacrest pulled out like a desk from back in the day that he had in storage. So that's what he put. I saw where you're working from at your house, and that looks really cute, by the way.
Thank you.
I think you did a good job with that.
Thank you.
And then Ryan has his big desk that'll be in the middle of like his living room area.
That's from like season one. He saved it. And then I was talking to him about this, and he didn't have anything to do with it, so he never got rid of it. But he brought it back in, and it's in his house, and that's what he's doing this show. This show on Sunday is going to be just so wild because, as I mentioned, it's coming from 40 different locations. There is a hub in Kansas City where they're running it from, but Luke Bryan's down the road in Nashville from me. There's obviously me at my house. The three judges, Katie and Lionel and Luke, they're all from there. All the contestants, they're all performing into iPhones with lighting that they had mailed to them. Producers are talking to them how to set it up. It's going to be wild to actually see it all come together. We've been rehearsing for the last couple of days, but I hope you guys check it out on Sunday.
Well, I was curious too when I saw this story if you've kept anything from an American Idol set or any set you've been on. Like, have you ever taken anything and you have it now?
Well, from when I won Dancing with the Stars, I have the top hat that I threw into the crowd that someone mailed me back. And then I saved and I bought the jacket when I was MC Hammer. So I have that. I don't think I have anything from Idol. Mike, do I have anything from Idol around here?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I, you know, I went in at season one on ABC. I wasn't there back in the Fox days. Man, I got some paychecks. I mean, pretty good. I'm not gonna lie about that. But I didn't keep those. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, according to new research, you are officially old when you hit the age of
53.
Close. Apparently, we all think we're old when you hit the age of 57.
Oh, okay.
So, and then the things that it comes to, or the things that we're concerned about when it comes to aging, just our overall health comes in pretty high. We worry about that. And then wrinkles, weight gain, gray hair, and hair loss.
Well, that number starts to raise when you get older. You always thought old was a number, then you hit it, and you're like, oh, that's not old. That's not old.
I know, because we're 40-ish now, and I don't feel like that's thriving. Old. And I feel like when we get to 50, we won't feel old.
Thriving even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. It's all relative to where you are.
Thriving right now. Yeah. All right.
Okay, I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
So we had the draw yesterday. We're all picking movies for the other person to watch before the end of next week. Okay, that's it. And you have to come and review them. It's basically our second favorite movie ever. Up first, Amy is assigning a movie to Morgan number two to watch. Amy, what do you give a Morgan number two to watch?
Oh, I'm giving her, well, I don't know for sure what she's seen, but I'm going with Steel Magnolias.
Morgan, have you seen that?
No, I haven't. I've wanted to watch it, so I'm excited.
Okay.
You are so lucky.
Eddie, you're picking for Amy. Now, the funny thing with last time was you picked a foreign language film for Amy last time. And
correct.
She did not like that. She ended up enjoying the movie a bit, but she did not like the foreign language movie. So what are you picking for Amy this time? Please pick Parasite. Oh, my. Eddie, if you pick Parasite.
I had a list of good things. I love the old Christmas movie, Black and White. It's a Wonderful Life. But then you're right, Bones. I think I should stick with Parasite because it is one of my favorite movies and it's in Korean.
Yeah.
She's going to love to watch the subtitles on that
The fact that you keep giving Amy foreign films makes me laugh out loud when I'm not even near a microphone.
Amy, you're going to love that movie.
The fact that Eddie drew me again? What are the odds? I mean...
1 in 5, 20%.
Whatever, fine. I'm going to watch Parasite and I'll give my review.
So you have until Friday of next week to review Parasite.
Okay.
Okay. Now, my thing is I had to pick a movie for Eddie. And as I was going down my favorite movies, and I kind of have a ranking of my favorite movies, it would be first was what was my the movie I sent Morgan number two, which was Man on the Moon about Andy Kaufman. He's seen that one. And then I was like, okay, how about Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind? He's seen that one.
Seen it.
And okay, well, how about Her, about the guy who falls in love with the operating system? Love it. He's seen it.
Seen it.
How about 500 Days of Summer? He's seen it.
Love it, actually.
Yeah. So I started going down this list, and he's seen basically everything. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, seen it.
Love it and seen it.
Mm-hmm. So Eddie and I are so the same that there's almost nothing that I can pick for him that he hasn't seen. Eddie, have you seen Office Space?
Love it, Bones. One of my favorite movies.
I mean, he's seen all yours, but I guarantee you, if he had drawn your name, he'd have some turds for you. For sure.
Okay. Eddie, I'm going to give you, because I know you haven't seen it, and it's not one of my top 10 movies, but you've seen all my top 10 movies. I'm going to give you a movie I would like for you to see because it is good. It's 8 Mile, about B-Rabbit / Eminem.
Okay? Good one. Shockingly, never seen it. Okay. So, yes, I'm looking forward to this.
What, Amy?
It's a good movie.
Yeah. That's what I do. I recommend good movies.
Right.
Don't be a hater. Okay. Lunchbox is picking for me. Lunchbox, what movie have you selected for me?
This one. I went back to when I was in high school and No Teeth Keith took me to the movies and I was really skeptical about the movie. It's called Box of Moonlight. And I walked out of that movie and I was like, that was incredible. And Siskel and Ebert gave it 2 thumbs up and I have a feeling you're going to give it 2 thumbs up. Box of Moonlight.
I've never heard of that movie. This is supposed to be our second favorite movie of all time.
Hey, just because you haven't heard
about?
Of it, it's about it really encompasses Bobby's life. It's about needing to slow down and enjoy life. Bobby
Mike, can
works
you show me
too
Box
much.
Of Moonlight. I think he searched for a movie that would drive me crazy.
No, I saw this with No Teeth Keith when he took me. It was the first really independent film I'd ever seen in my life.
How long?
And I was so skeptical. It's really good. Siskel and Ebert gave it 2 thumbs up.
Okay.
They're not even a thing anymore.
But they were a thing then when it came out.
Siskel and Ebert.
Oh, I was thinking two thumbs wasn't that many, but that's good, right?
Yes.
So see, I was like, two out of five thumbs.
It has five thumbs, weirdo.
I was like...
Mike, what's the runtime on that?
Almost 2 hours.
1 hour and 52 minutes. And you're complaining right now, but it's going to be like, man, I need to live like this guy.
I'm complaining because we were supposed to pick our second favorite movie, and you picked a movie that you've never mentioned in your top 100 movies.
No, I just don't ever mention it because no one's ever heard of it. And so I feel bad. Like if I say it, everybody's like, I don't know what that is. And so it's kind of weird to mention a movie no one's heard of. But it really is a good movie.
All right. Morgan, number two, you're picking for Lunchbox. Go ahead.
Yeah, since I've been binging all of the superhero stuff, I'm giving him a superhero movie that everybody loves. And it's Marvel's Black Panther.
Have you seen Black Panther, Lunchbox?
Black Panther. Nope.
All right. You'll like it. It's really good. Good. Congratulations.
That's a good movie.
As my stepdad would say, I got the S end of the stick in this one.
Are you kidding?
Amy, your movie's great.
I did.
No, no, no. Whatever. I felt the same way. I didn't want to watch a foreign movie, and it was great.
Yeah, and you're going to feel the same way about a box of Moonlight.
Yeah.
Bones, isn't the S part of the stick just the short part of the stick?
No, no, no. It's the the poop end of the stick.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. Bones.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Hillary Scott from Lady Antebellum.
Hillary, how are you?
Hi. You know, I'm doing pretty good today. How are you?
Well, I think that's funny you say today because I think we're all going day by day and we're emotionally riding up and down the roller coaster.
Yes, it has definitely been a roller coaster and a lively one here in my house.
You know, I feel like I've been watching so much Family Music, and mostly with you guys. Whenever I hit my Instagram Live and I see you guys doing a story, I'll hit it. And the last few times, it was like all of you guys sitting behind a piano, singing in what felt like a school cafeteria. I'm not sure where you were exactly, but but I don't know what was going on, but I was watching it.
Thank you. It was our back porch sessions with my family. We were all quarantined together, my parents and my little sister. And so we did a couple Facebook Lives just for... honestly, to connect with family and friends and just kind of try to process and heal and have therapy through music.
How has it been with everyone for a long time?
You know, it's been good. I will say I've had to hide in my car a couple times, just needing a minute or just taking a little drive. And we've all kind of found our ways to cope, I think, as best as we can. But right now, I mean, it's so much about like homeschooling my oldest daughter, keeping our 2-year-old twins occupied. So there's only a few hours every day that I'm awake that aren't revolving around the kiddos. So I'm trying to take those moments to look inward and kind of process all of this. And it's been a challenge, but you know what? I know I'll never regret or underappreciate stepping on a stage ever again or a hug from a friend. It's all the things that you miss so much that you're like, okay, I'm never going to take this for granted ever again.
We have Hillary from Lady Antebellum on with us. I saw that you posted the Daddy Daughter Luau got canceled that your husband and your daughter were going to do. Did you end up doing that in the backyard?
We did. For two of them, it was going to be so sweet, and you know, her classmates at school. But then, with obviously their school getting canceled now, we just sit in the backyard, and it became a family affair, and it was really fun.
Did she like it?
She felt so special, and my twin girls loved putting on the grass skirts and dancing around to the Hawaiian music. So it made for a really, I think, probably one of the most memorable moments of this time.
You know, I saw when you guys went on Songland, and I thought that was a really cool appearance. And then I saw where you guys are now putting Champagne Night as the song to radio, which is why I reached out, because to me that was kind of news, and I just kind of wanted, you know, what the story was with that.
Yeah, I mean, we went on to the show so excited to be part of it, not having a clue what to expect, other than knowing we would have a blast, because it's Shane McAnally and Ryan Tedder and Esther Dean, and just the whole process of songwriting and watching it go down on season one, we were just excited to be a part of it. And then when we heard Madeline's song, we just heard a lot of great stuff in there. And we loved all the songs, but that one was the one that really jumped out to us the most. And so we just knew it needed a lot of work. So we paired her up with Shane McAnally, who, I mean, gosh, I can't even count as high as many hits as he has now. And it was just awesome to see the transformation that the song took. And when we put it out, when the show aired, there was such a huge response. And being, I think, you know, this far into Safer at Home and everybody's, I think, wanting a song to dance around their living room to, or give them permission to, you know, jump from a coffee to a cocktail. And this just feels like the song to do that to. And so we're kind of pivoting, doing something we've never done before. Uncharted waters that we're in the world, and uncharted waters we're in is flipping singles and going with our gut.
That's a fun song. Hey, Amy has a question for you. Amy, say hi to Hillary.
Hey, Hillary. I kind of have two. So I feel like for a lot of moms, there's two phases of quarantine, and I want to know if you've done either. Phase one is you join TikTok, and then phase two is you bake banana bread.
Okay, I've not done phase one. I've done them in opposite order. So phase two happened week one of quarantine. We made banana bread, I think, two different times. And then TikTok is on my list because I feel like Champagne Night, there's so many endless, like, fun things that you could do, like taking, you know, a bottle of champagne and then it turns into a bottle of beer, or, you know, just funny things that you could do, dance around. So TikTok is next. So I've flipped them.
Okay, we'll be sure to follow you once you're on.
I have my little sister to help me because I feel very a little aged out of it, and so she'll keep me up on how to do it.
Do you talk to Charles and Dave much at all right now when you guys are all separately?
Yes, we have a standing call once a week. We actually did a Zoom writing session a couple days ago. We're texting all the time, but our Zoom calls, our conference calls are once a week. And gosh, it is so weird to just be so separated, but trying to find ways to connect and make plans and dream together in the midst of all of this uncertainty. And so we're seeing each other, you know, once or twice a week and then texting every day.
I know you guys had the big tour with Jake and Maddie and Tay. And so, you know, you're rescheduling dates, but what are they telling you as of right now about some of these dates later on in the year?
You know what? Everything that we've been told is that we're forging ahead. I mean, everything got pushed into July to start for us. So as of right now, I mean, things are changing so fast. We just hope and pray that the tour doesn't have to get pushed back anymore. We're hopeful. And, but you know what, if it does, it's because it's what's safest. That's the only reason why any of these really hard decisions are being made. And so ultimately our heart is just for everyone to stay safe and healthy. And we can just continue to be creative with the incredible technology we have until we can all reunite together again in person. But I'm hoping, you know, I think it might look a lot different than we thought, but I know at some point live music all together will happen again.
You know, you, like me, we're only one day apart in birthday, but also Amy, we all had quarantine birthdays. What was your quarantine birthday like?
So we all wore Hawaiian shirts. I put my hair up in space buns, put on red lipstick, and had just shrimp and grits for dinner and just tried to make it as fun as possible. I jokingly was like, you know what, I think I'm going to do a repeat next year, so I'll just stay 34 for another year.
It doesn't count. I wish that were the case with me. Yeah, I wish that were the case too.
Well, I don't think the caloric count in cereal I'm eating should count either.
I saw that you were eating maybe Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and is that what you were eating, Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
I have Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I've got the Cinnamon Toast Crunch churros. This is one thing I've been trying to be very mindful of, you know, taking care of myself, moving my body, but there's just some things that you just have to in the midst of all of this, you're just like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And cereal at night has been my thing.
So I'm always curious, you know, you're such an elite singer. Do you keep your voice? Are you practiced? Do you keep it in shape, or do you just know it's going to be there when you get back?
I'm practicing a lot, but it's on songs like Wheels on the Bus and This Little Light of Mine, and it's a lot of nursery rhymes. But thankfully, you know, we've expanded our little girl's musical taste to like some gospel and, you know, some pop. So a lot of it is it's all across the board. But, you know, we've been recording solo kind of like this, a lot of different versions of songs off the record. And so I feel like I've been keeping my chops up okay. But if I'm singing anything more than our stuff, it's nursery rhyme.
Well, Hillary, always fun to talk to you. Like, seriously, you're such a delight to talk to. So thank you for talking with us. I know quarantine's been stressful for everybody, so we appreciate the time.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy to. And, hey, I want to tell you, we love watching you on the Disney sing-along. It was so awesome.
Oh, thank you.
That piece, that whole show is such a bright spot in our time down here and you know, isolated. And so, and we've been watching the Opry every week.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other thing I wanted to make sure to tell you, just how much I appreciate you doing that, because I've just sat in our living room every Saturday and watched the Opry and just cried every time, every week. But it's just so incredible that it just keeps going, and just that you're given of your time to do that.
Well,
really,
thanks.
Awesome.
It's crazy. You know, I went on and, you know, I produced that show as well, and it was just important to me. There's only like 10 of us in the whole building, which is crazy. And I'm so grateful that the mayor lets us keep doing the Opry. Like, they made that an essential job, and, you know, we're safe. So thank you for acknowledging that, because I know I'm super proud of it. So, you know, and you're someone I look up to when it comes to music. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. And everybody tune in on Circle Access on the weekend on Saturdays. It's just like, it's a real highlight of our week every week.
Well, thank you, Hillary, and be safe, and we'll see you, and hopefully we'll see you in person soon.
Awesome.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Ben Ramirez lives in San Francisco, and he's always had dreams of opening a coffee shop. And he's like, man, during this pandemic, I'm going to try my hand at coffee. So he put a little sign in his window that says free coffee for essential workers. So any mail carriers or healthcare workers, they just stop by his window and he gives them free coffee.
That's cool. And then watch this guy end up making big bucks with coffee later in life for a good reason. That would be awesome. That's a good story.
Yeah.
Good for him. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Well, go listen to the podcast. I'd love it if you did. I think you'd be entertained. Morgan, if they want to listen back to today's show, what kind of nuggets will they find?
Hillary Scott from Lady Antebellum was on with us.
Yeah, we had a really good talk with her. I like Hillary. I mean, I love Lady Antebellum as a band, but I really like Hillary as a person. It was a good talk. It's right, Amy? She's always just delightful to talk with.
Yeah, no, she's great.
Check that out. What else you got over there?
We all picked movies for each other to watch next week.
Yeah, and I've been assigned, and then let's be truthful here, Amy. Lunchbox gave me a movie that he's never said was anywhere near his favorite. He's never even mentioned. Don't you think a little bit I got shafted here?
I mean, who knows? It might be one of the best movies
ever.
No.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, based on the criteria for the game, what was my movie called, Lunchbox?
Box of Moonlight.
Based on the criteria, your second favorite movie, don't you feel like I got shafted?
I mean, yeah, I've never heard him talk about it.
Okay. And I know you're mad at the movie you got, but...
Yes, I am.
It is... Eddie has deemed it one of his favorite of all time before we even did the segment.
But it just, like, came out this year.
But it doesn't matter. But Eddie said it's his favorite before. Go to the podcast and hear this bowl of garbage.
Turds.
Yeah. All right, what else you got over there, Morgan, number two?
Well, you tried to watch a reality show with your girlfriend, but you weren't too sure about it.
Yeah. Mostly it was just the clothes they were wearing. I was like, do we have to do that? All right, what else? Give me one more.
And we got an update on your dog Stanley and his cone situation.
Cone, surgery, repeat. Cone, wait, no. Surgery, cone, repeat. Yeah. All right, Amy, what's going on?
Well, I got Stashira's birthday this weekend. So that'll be tomorrow. She turns 13 years old.
Dang, crazy.
I cannot believe it. I guess she was 5 and a half when we first met her at the orphanage in Haiti. And to now see her a teenager is insane. So somehow, some way, we're going to make a quarantine birthday special for her.
Yeah, good.
What about you?
Well, the Opry will be Saturday. You can watch it. Luke Combs and Craig Morgan are playing. It's complete social distancing Opry. I
host the show. I help produce the show. And the Opry stage is empty except for two or three people, and they're all spread apart. There's no bands. But you can watch it 7 p.m. Central, CircleAllAccess.com. It'll be Luke Combs and Craig Morgan. I'll be hosting that, helping put that together. American Idol's on Sunday. I have Idol filming on Saturday, all before the Opry, and then, of course, Sunday night. It's just a work weekend. I'm working. Everything's rolling over here at work. What's crazy is after Idol airs, I have press until like 11:30. So Idol goes off at 9 o'clock Central, and then I have press until 11:30, where I just pop in and do interviews. So, yeah, busy weekend. Thank you, guys. Have a great one. Be safe. Wash your hands. You know what I'm saying by now. All right, see you later. Come on, Bobby Bones Show.